Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I've got Randy Gage. Randy is the Entrepreneur Whisperer. So those of you that are business owners in the audience, you definitely want to listen to what he's whispering and telling us a little bit about how to make our businesses more profitable, how to make our lives more fulfilling. For those of you that are out there that are cubicle warriors and you're thinking about starting a business, why not start the right way and not get yourself mired into the mess like a lot of us have? So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Randy, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Jeff. Great to be on with you.
Great to have you on. Actually, was reading a lot about you today, so I'm really excited about the conversation. Why don't we go ahead and start off with your story? How'd you get to where you're at today?
Well, that's a very dangerous question to ask anybody as old as I am. We can start with, okay.
Experienced, Randy, not old. Experienced.
Yeah, but we could start with, okay, how did you get from when you were 15 years old yep. in a jail cell for armed robbery? Or how did you get when you first became an entrepreneur? Or how did you get from when you had your business seized by the tax authorities and auctioned off at the courthouse?
Let's get the Cliff Notes version of you. How about that?
Yeah, so I had a single mom raise three kids by herself up in Madison, Wisconsin.
There we go.
And she did that knocking on doors selling Avon. Wow. And I was the black sheep of the family, the problem child, the guy who zigged when I probably should have zagged. I did end up, I was in jail for armed robbery and burglary at 15 years old. I was a teenage alcoholic, teenage drug addict. So I made a lot of really poor choices. And, you know, I'd love to say, and then, you know, we went to trial and I had an amazing public defender who believed in me and a judge who believed, hey, let's give this kid a second chance and see if he can turn his life around. And I was able to do that. And I'd love to say that I snapped my fingers and had some realization and it happened overnight. But
everybody falls back.
Yeah, we all know it doesn't quite work that way. So I had my stumbles along the way, but I've been an entrepreneur now. I'm 66 now. I've been an entrepreneur since then. I mean, I made my way through middle school selling dope. So I think that qualifies as an entrepreneur.
I guess that's sort of entrepreneurship, not legal, but entrepreneurship. And then,
yeah. So I'm passionate about free enterprise. I love the whole concept of Freedom Days because I think freedom is what drives me and a lot of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Freedom in many different ways. Freedom for better choices probably tops the list. Freedom of time.
Yep.
And so that along the circuitous journey, I ended up here with you on the Freedom Nation pod.
So what, you know, as you got into the legal side of entrepreneurship, what did you do to kind of build a career for yourself?
I have done quite a bit. I put out a magazine. I had a newspaper distribution company. Oh, let me turn off my little ringer on my phone here. I owned a couple of restaurants. I owned a hairstyling salon at one point. I was, and still are, a distributor in direct selling. Okay. I became an investor down the road. And then along the way, I became an author. And then once I started writing books, people wanted me to speak. Mm-hmm. So I became a professional speaker back in 1991.
Okay.
And then people wanted me to coach and consult. And so I kind of stepped into that. So I'm, you know, I'm just about diversifying my income, creating streams of income.
Nice.
Building out my business in ways that I filter through lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, don't you find too, the more different sources of revenue that you have coming in, you get less and less stressed as you go. I know I do.
100%. The number one thing that couples argue about is money. I think the number one thing that keeps people up at 3 a.m. might be tied between money and health. But money probably wins that contest for a lot of people. And when you, I just, that was always my thing. I said, I want to get the money thing out of the way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing in my coaching. First thing I'm telling someone in session number one, you know, when we're doing the strategy, like, where are they at? Do they have credit card debt? Do they have car loan? Do they have mortgage? I want to get them debt free as soon as possible. And when I say debt free, I mean from slavery debt, right, from foolish debt. I have no problem at all if they want to borrow $2 million and buy an apartment building and create leverage there and only put a smaller down payment. Because if that debt creates income, it's smart debt.
Yeah.
So, but I want to get them out of foolish debt as quick as possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I mean, even in some cases, okay, if I'm going to acquire a business or something like that, maybe, you know, use some debt or leverage to be able to acquire a business, as long as it's doing something that's generating income, is the way I've always looked at it.
100%. If there is, you know, I'm rethinking my own situation, because as I'm, you know, working now with financial planners who actually are entrepreneurs and studying books by those kind of planners, I feel like I might have made some less than optimal decisions by not having debt and not taking on debt when I had opportunities to. I mean, I have, it's supposed to be, I think 850 is the highest credit rating. Mine is 883 last time they sent it to me. I'm like, I don't know how that's possible. Hey. 850 is supposed to be the highest, but it's like 883. So I have, and you know, I get 30 mailings a month. Hey, like a line of credit, like a credit card, like this, like that. We're happy, you know, bankers calling me and, you know, texting me and emailing me. And I've just shied away from that because, and I've created a, you know, I'm really blessed. I've been able to do what I want, which is get the money thing out of the way.
Yeah.
And I have made some incredible deals, some incredible profits, but I still say the richest I ever felt was the day I became debt free.
Yeah.
For me, it was paying off that last credit card with a horrible interest rate and doing that. And then I pay cash for my cars, my house, everything. And I'm actually rethinking that. You know, I hope I don't get the numbers wrong. Somebody will beat me up in the comments. But I remember an interview with Elon, and he sold, I think he got 180. Now, the numbers might be wrong, but the principle will be correct, I promise you. I think he got 180 million when he sold his shares in PayPal. And then he put like 150 million into SpaceX and 20 million into Tesla or vice versa. And then the last 10 million into Neuralink maybe. And then he says he borrowed money to pay his rent. Right.
Hey,
well, that works out pretty good for him. You know,
it's worked exceedingly well for him actually over the years.
Right. So, there's a lot of situations. If you remember if you ever watched that HBO series about WeWork and Adam Neumann, similar dynamic in the movie where he goes in the bank and says, I want to get a credit line. And, you know, he's worth like $1 billion, but he has, you know, $1,200 cash in his bank account or something. And when you get to the higher income levels, it does make sense to utilize credit.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, Elon, okay, let's say you borrowed a couple million dollars to live off of. Your businesses are far by over generating that money that can pay off those loans very quickly. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if I take, what also got me thinking about this was in my investment account that I run, meaning the stocks I personally choose in my Robinhood account, which is the app that I use, right?
Yep.
For last year, my investments for the year made 37%.
Nice.
So I can borrow money for a lot less than 37%.
Yep.
So the question I have to ask myself is, hey, why didn't I borrow a couple hundred thousand against those investments and invest it in these things that I was making 37%?
Sure.
You know? And I don't give financial advice. Be very clear to everyone listening, watching. I'm a high school dropout. I'm not licensed, registered, certified in anything except...
Be careful borrowing money to buy investments because it can come to bite you in the butt really fast.
Yeah. And I mean, it's learn how the money game is played and then make smart debt, not stupid debt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about your work working with entrepreneurs. So you've been an entrepreneur for your whole life. Talk a little bit about when you're sitting down with somebody. Let's say I come to you and say, hey, Randy, I've got four businesses. There's, you know, a couple of them are performing very well. One of them is really struggling. What's the first conversation we're going to have?
I'm going to look at the whole picture. I want to know, because I have people come to me and they say, I'm making $46 million a year. I'm killing it. And I say, yeah, how's your health? Well, yeah, I'm carrying about 35 extra pounds and my blood pressure is high and my cholesterol is high. And I'm like, okay, we got a real problem here, right? Uh-huh. How's your relationships? How's your marriage? Well, you know, my kids aren't talking to me and, you know, I got problems with my spouse and, okay, your $40 million ain't worth it. It ain't worth $80 million. It ain't worth $800 million. So how do we create a dynamic where you will be healthy, happy, and prosperous?
Mm-hmm.
What are the businesses that will help you do that? What are the businesses that light you up? For me, I've planned out all of 2026. For, you know, I've got my whole year, big 12-month calendar right beside me over there. And I'm blocking off 1 week off every month.
Nice.
So I want to take 12 weeks vacation next year because I find that when I take the free time, then I work so much better in the non-free time. My creativity is unbridled. It's unleashed. I have the energy. So I wake up on Monday morning and I'm throwing the covers off the bed. I want to go to work. I'm like, thank God it's Monday because I love my job. I love my work. I love working with entrepreneurs. I love writing books. I love developing apps and websites. I love learning how AI can, help my life and my productivity and my clients. And so I'm doing a lot of work in AI right now. I love doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that guy or gal with four businesses, I want to know, do they like them? They have fun with them. Are they lucrative? Or should we sell two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Or should we really work? Because the other thing, I think that the most work I'm doing with entrepreneurs is one, helping them budget in the wellness. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I got 10 meetings, 10 hours. No bullshit. You're going to hire a personal trainer. And they're going to come four times a week and you're going to spend 45 minutes with them or whatever they do. And you're going to set that in your calendar before you book anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my case, I'm I have a little old Colombian abuelita who comes over to my house. She was here yesterday. She comes over to my house once a week. She prepares all of my meals for the week and puts everything in the fridge, stacked up in the Rubbermaid containers, and good to go. And you know what I mean? So I eat healthy no matter how busy I am. And I'm not going to just settle for drive-through, which is what used to be 70% of my meals.
Yeah.
Or drive-through or Uber Eats delivery. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy. There's just too much garbage there. So she makes healthy stuff that I like. And she can make me some desserts and put monk fruit or stevia in there instead of refined sugar and stuff that's bad for me. So I'm going to work with my entrepreneurs on stuff. Look, let's get the health thing. Mm-hmm. You got to sleep right. You got to eat right. You got to drink right. And then you got to have time for relationships. You got to have healthy relationships that enhance your life. Mm-hmm. And then let's find work that lights you up. It's lucrative. It's serving a real need. And then you kind of reverse engineer it from there. And that's, it's, again, those three things. How can we get you in a business that allows you to be healthy, happy, and prosperous?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what's your process? You know, after you've kind of done that with them, is it a weekly coaching model? How do you work with somebody over time then?
Well, I actually have a formalized program. It's called Breakthrough You.
Okay.
It's on my website. We can put a link in the show notes, but it's anybody listening, it's randygage.com, and then you'll see Breakthrough You, or you can just go to Breakthrough and the letter U, breakthroughyou.com. So I have three different levels. So I have an apprentice level, because I have people come to me and they're just broke. They're working a job. They don't have any money for savings. They have no money they believe for investments. And they're riddled with poverty consciousness. Mm-hmm. They expect bad things to happen. They've been programmed. They've been brainwashed their whole life. Money is bad. Rich people are evil. It's spiritual to be poor, or it's noble to be poor. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then they need to just start at the apprentice level.
Okay.
And they get a weekly email lesson from me. And it's just about changing their poverty consciousness into prosperity consciousness.
Okay.
And then I do a once a month class, a prosperity class. It's literally a class on the principles of prosperity.
I love this.
Yeah. And then the middle level is the alchemist level. And that's got that stuff. But then there is a coaching meeting, you know, once a month thing, where they're there in a mastermind with other people at that level.
Uh-huh.
And they can interact with me and I can interact with them. And we can, you know, they can get advice on specific things. And I always say that's for the people who are out there, they're hustling, they're working, but they just can't break that $1 million a year income thing.
Okay.
And if that's the case, they come in at that level.
Well, that's the hardest part. I mean, getting to that $1 million level, after that, it gets easy or easier. It's not easy, but it's easier. But that first million is probably the toughest.
Here's what I've found that seems really counterintuitive to people, but I can swear on a stack of Bibles and, you know, whatever, we can defend it to the death. It is easier to make a large amount of money quickly than it is to make a small amount of money slowly. And I'm just finishing my 16th book, and this chapter on this topic I call the magnitude of scale effect.
Okay.
And everyone listening, all your people, listen and tell me if this is true or not. It is easier to sell if you're a real estate agent, it's easier to sell a $5 million home than it is to sell a $200,000 one. Mm-hmm. You don't believe me? Ask any real estate broker.
As a financial advisor, working with a $2 million to $3 million client is way easier than working with a $100,000 client.
100%. Yeah. I know
hands
that
down.
I know that with every fiber of my body.
Yeah.
Same thing. Ask a car, somebody in the auto industry. It's easier to sell a $3.5 million Bugatti than it is to sell a $40,000 Toyota.
Yep.
Because the guy with the Toyota, it's a sacrifice. He's got a budget. He might have to borrow the down payment from his mom or his dad. He has to get credit approved. I mean, go to a Toyota, Ford, Chevy, BMW, even a Lexus dealership and just say, talk to a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how many deals do you lose a week because they can't get the financing?
Yep.
I've had, when it was really bad, I've had people tell me they were losing 70%, but normally maybe 40%, right? That doesn't happen with the Bugatti.
No.
The lady or the guy who buys the Bugatti, that it literally can be an impulse purchase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally, you get
$2 million car and it can be literally just okay.
Yeah, I mean, they have clients they could call and say, hey, I got a navy blue Venron coming in Wednesday. I wanted you to have first dibs on it. And they're like, yes, hold it for me. And they buy it on the phone.
Sure. Right?
It is easier if you're a coach, if you're a consultant, whatever. If you, as you are with a financial plan, if you would present a $40,000 a month consulting contract, and I know because I do it all the time, it's easier to sell than a $5,000 one. Yeah. And I know because I used to do those and I don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to sell the $1 million contracts than the $500,000 ones. So when I say the middle level is break through that million thing, don't let that belief that the first million is harder because it looks that way on the surface. But if somebody's really willing to be bold, daring, imaginative, they can provide value. It doesn't work if you can't provide value, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to deliver. But if you can deliver, those high value offers are the easiest ones to get. And then just to finish up the thread, the third level is for people who are past the $1 million one. And those are the, like I say, they're very successful, most of them already by the time they come to me.
Yeah.
But they're not fulfilled.
Yeah.
They don't.
They're financially successful, not successful in other aspects.
Right. They're on their phone. You know, like if I would suggest to them, and I do, by the way, like I always, one of the things I teach is to budget thinking time once a week, 45 minutes, no devices. Just you get your cup of green tea or your whatever, you know, wine or whatever, and you get a little journal and a pen and you think for 45 minutes. I can't tell you there are people like, what do you mean no devices? I mean, you have to turn off your phone. How can I turn off my phone? Do you know how many messages I get in a thing? You know, I can tell when they're talking to me, they're checking 10 different. I'm like, you're completely addicted to your dumb phone, which they call a smartphone. It's really a dumb phone. And they're completely addicted to it. They have no attention, concentration span. They have no clarity of thought because they're getting brainwashed and addicted and distracted by their phone every 5 seconds. Or like I said, it's the health, the relationship. So we just got to work to like, hey, let's see what does the perfect day look like for you as an entrepreneur? And then how do we build that out?
Hmm. Love this. Absolutely love it. So tell me what's new in your world. Anything you've got the book coming out, first off.
What's
the new book going to be about, first off?
Yeah, this one's called Millionaire in the Mirror. At least that's the working title. I've done the first draft is completed. I'm just probably tonight going to start the final second run through before I send it off to the editor. And the idea is, the philosophy is that you look in the mirror and there really is a millionaire staring back at you. And obviously, I think high performance, high level achievers will benefit from it. But it's more for the people who haven't got to that $1 million mark yet,
right, and,
need to live the kind of life that, because this, for me, it's a belief. I believe we're supposed to be healthy, happy, and prosperous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that our world was designed around that. We just screw it up constantly. So.
Yeah, we self-sabotage. And that usually comes back to worthiness issues. I have a whole book on that called Radical Rebirth, but just about the brainwashing we get exposed to on TV and radio and podcasts and movies and books and social media, especially.
I would say even in education in a lot of cases. I mean,
I list education as, the education system is one of the guilty parties.
Yeah.
And government as well.
Yeah.
Governments need you to be needy.
Yes.
The most dangerous thing to a government is a citizen who doesn't need assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't be controlled.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the most dangerous thing to the education system is somebody who thinks. I think in a lot of cases, we don't want you to think.
100%. They want to teach you what to think, not how to think.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Well, great. Let's transition now to the fast five questions and hear your take on these.
Okay.
All right. So first one, you wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, place to live, food and clothing. What do you do first?
I start building a list that I own and control.
Okay.
Probably an email list or a text list. So I create some free newsletter or I create some free text service. And then I start going to blogs and podcasts and social. And I start giving away knowledge for free in exchange for people to sign up on my list. That's the single most important asset I believe any business has, is the list of people who know you, like you, and trust you.
Mm-hmm. Love it. It is the best method of all time. So yeah, I totally agree. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Before you go to your next one, what's the best answer you got from that question from anyone?
One of the best answers that I've heard, because usually people are like, oh, well, I'd sit down and think for a few hours. Okay, fine. But what are you going to do? A few hours doesn't spend very well, when it comes to that. But no, it's that most of the best answers I've ever heard have you have a very actionable plan right away. This is what I would do. And obviously you've thought through that. Yeah. Okay. What would I do? I don't have this. Now go with it from there. So yeah, one of the best answers that I've heard in a long time.
Okay, yeah, because I think it's a great question. So I was just curious, how
I like people who who really have a game plan just in case it does happen. I mean, I know I do. I have a game plan in my head that if everything was taken away tomorrow, I know exactly what I would do. And honestly, I'd have more time to do it because I wouldn't have all the other crap in my life that's floating around and I could focus on that.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Good.
What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
I got seduced like many people do with tactics.
Huh.
So I always was looking about, okay, what can I do to stay busy that makes me believe I'm working toward my goal?
Yep.
And I never sat back and created, I don't say never, but most of the biggest mistake in the cases I made, it was when I didn't do that. I didn't say, wait a minute, what's the strategy here? How do I know if I win this game?
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know that, it's so easy to just, okay, yes, I want to make contact, so I'm going to get on social media. Oh, look, there's a dog on a surfboard. Let me watch. Oh, look, there's a cat on a vacuum cleaner. Oh, and all of a sudden, 3 hours are sucked away, and you haven't done anything that takes you closer because you don't know the big picture strategy.
Yep. No, I'm right there with you. It's funny. I did what I call a social media cleanse earlier this year.
Good.
I decided
for you.
To just focus on one platform and not really consume the platform. I was a producer on the platform. So I did a LinkedIn, I did a LinkedIn exercise for 90 days where that was the only social media I was on, and I had basically a plan every day. Okay. I reach out and contact a certain number of people. I make sure I interact with people. I make sure that, I'm watching, people's birthdays and things like that. The best 90 days I had all year long, hands down.
I believe that. And by the way, I would agree with you. I'm off all of them. I have a team who does some video clips and another team who does some writing stuff based on my blog. And I'm a creator. I'm not a consumer.
Yeah.
But like you, I feel like the one that's left with civility and intelligence and actual connection is LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, a lot of people had that, oh, well, yeah, but it's not really social and everything else. Honestly, I had some of the best conversations and interactions that I've ever had doing that. Yeah.
One of my first, I kind of did a long copy post, thought, get people thinking about something.
Yeah.
And that was the first comment I got. Oh, another guru who comes over to LinkedIn and thinks this is Twitter or Facebook. Don't you know this is not what is done here? Read the room, blah, blah, blah. I didn't say anything. That person got attacked with like 15 people who commented, did you read what he wrote?
Yeah, exactly. Did you actually read it?
Yeah, that like this is really good stuff. And have you not noticed how LinkedIn has become a social network? And this is exactly the kind of content that brings us back to LinkedIn now. So that was after that, nobody ever said another word.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, but there's always got to be that one person who's got to just ruin it for everybody or try to ruin it for everybody. Okay, what's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
For entrepreneurs, if you're a CEO, then get any of the books by Ben Horowitz.
Okay.
Ben is the partner at Andreessen Horowitz, who invested in the Silicon Valley rock stars, who invested in everything. If you're not a CEO yet, meaning you're an entrepreneur, but you're not like a CEO with 1,000 employees, the books by Dan Sullivan, the guy who runs Strategic Coach, 10X is better than 2X.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's the name of the other one? He does them with Dr. Benjamin Hardy.
Uh-huh.
So he has two with Dr. Hardy, and then Benjamin Hardy has just written his own book about scaling.
Okay.
The Science of Scaling, I believe it is. And that's another really good book.
Hmm. I love it. That you gave us the bonus plan. We've got a lot of them that we can put on there then.
Yeah, I'll give you one more too, because I just had him on my own podcast. He is, if you follow VC firms in Silicon Valley, there's a couple brothers, the Ravikant brothers. Naval is very famous. I mean, they were in early on Uber and Airbnb and, every Facebook and Twitter. And their record is unbelievable. So it's Naval, who's very famous, and then Kamal, who is more of a private guy.
Okay.
And he wasn't as famous. But Kamal has actually written 3 books now. He has a book, Love Yourself as Though Your Life Depends on It.
I like that title.
I literally actually have another one on my desk. This is another one called Live Your Truth. So okay. Kamal Rabakan. So, I mean, he's an entrepreneur's entrepreneur, but he wrote these books that are really about self-development, loving yourself, your self-esteem. And I think they're so helpful for so many entrepreneurs. I think it was Elon or maybe it was Bezos. I don't even remember who said it, but basically said, you know, being an entrepreneur is like chewing tinfoil, staring into space, you know. It's a lonely thing when I've been there.
It's a job sometimes.
Okay, it's Wednesday. It's 10 p.m. I'm exhausted and I don't have payroll and I know it's coming on Friday. What the hell am I going to do? That is the most loneliest thing. It's more lonely than being a poet or a writer or anything because you have these people counting on you.
Yeah.
And so books like Kamal's are really, really helpful to people in that sense. I'm going to connect you with him. All right.
If you want. I would love to.
Yeah. You got to get him on your pod. Cause he's incredible. I just had him on mine.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. Now, and I love those books like that, you know, where it's somebody who's this uber successful entrepreneur and that, you know, they write something that really has nothing to do with being an entrepreneur, but it does in some aspects. Yeah. It's how you get your brain right. And I think if you get your brain right, the rest of it's pretty easy. So then it's just execute. What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
For me, I've built out a bunch of AI agents, had them built for me. I'm not a tech guy, but I had them created. So I've created a co-CEO who thinks and writes like I do. It's trained with my books, with my blogs to think as I do. And so I can run anything by, his name is Neo.
Okay.
So I can run anything by Neo and I use that. More than 100 times a day.
Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, that's, I think as a CEO, as a business leader, I think that's the most important thing because you don't always have that. You don't always have that person who can think the way you do, or maybe can almost pick someone up.
Yeah. Almost never, you know, and even that's the other reason I think the high level people join my Breakthrough You. I'm the only person around them who will get up in their grill and say, no, that's a terrible idea. And here's why. Or I love that idea, but if you do it, it's going to create this fissure in your organization or this fissure in your health or your relationship. And they don't want it to happen, but somehow they're surrounded themselves with people who are afraid to challenge them. Mm-hmm. And they need someone. We all need someone who will challenge us.
Yeah. No, totally agree with you. Absolutely agree. Okay. Last question. I know you're going to enjoy this one because you already said it. What is your definition of freedom?
Yeah. It's freedom to live my life by my terms and with the people who bring meaning to my life. With the people that I bring meaning to their life, doing work that lights me up, and where I really feel like, okay, whenever I get off this bus, people are going to say, I'm glad he was here because I think he left the joint a little better than when he took it over. And when you have those choices, you know, when you can make those choices, the health choices, the relationship choices, the financial choices, the lifestyle choices, and the significance, the contribution, the challenge. We, you know, if half of the depressed people in the world are depressed because they don't have anything that challenges them and it's eating them up inside, where if they had an adventure to challenge themselves, their depression would be gone in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I even say it in the Freedom Day world, you know, there's one step in what I call the Freedom Day method where you have to make that decision. Okay. I have enough income coming in that I could quit my job if I want. And, you know, the biggest question I would get from people always was, okay, well, if I do that, do I have to quit my job? And I make it very simple. It's like, do you like what you do? If you like what you do, you don't have to quit your job. You can keep working there, but you have no stress because I don't have the money worries over my shoulder. And if you hate your job, you're going to be the worst employee that's ever existed because you know you don't need to be there and you aren't going to take anything from anybody. So yeah, totally agree with you on that. So thank you for being on the show, Randy. It was as I expected it to be. It was a fantastic interview, and I appreciate that. Where's the best place if somebody wants to learn more about you, interact with you? I know you said the website, so just kind of repeat that again as well.
Yeah, randygage.com, because okay. I'm very little on social these days anymore.
Perfect.
But everything, my podcast, my blog, my Breakthrough You program, everything, you could find it at Randy, you know, Gage is G-A-G-E. So randygage.com.
We'll put that in the show notes page for both the audio and the video of this. So thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. I really am excited to hear about the new book and can't wait for it to come out. So in the traditional publishing route, it'll probably take 6 years to get the thing done, but
actually, it should be out by probably by February, okay. March.
Great. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that. And when it comes out, just let us know. We'll make sure we promote that and let everybody know in the audience when it's out.
I appreciate that greatly.
Thank you, sir. Well, folks, as always, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you go to Randy's site. And I think, you know, if you're an apprentice, if you're an alchemist, or if you're that high level, this is a great opportunity for you to interact with Randy and get yourself to the next level. So thanks a lot. And we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.